I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters. The South Boise Women's Correctional Center has some really unique programs designed to help the women there learn job skills and other qualities like leadership and responsibility. We found out about one of those programs as we walked past the women's rooms and saw signs posted on several doors.
Oh, cat room.
We walked into one room with Cecilia Shepherd and a very, very fat cat.
What's her name?
Her name's Kimba.
Kimba?
Yeah.
So how long has Kimba been here?
She's been here a few months.
And was she a stray, do you know, or just...
I believe she was actually an elderly woman. And the reason why she's so much is because she weighs so much is because I think that she would just sit by her, the elderly lady, and she'd just plop food out for her. So, yeah. So I think the lady had to move into, like, a nursing home or something, and then... So she had to give her up.
So she's on a diet here? Is that what I have been told?
Yeah, she is on a diet. She eats twice a day, 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. And then we usually walk her. She's been walking a few times a day.
Well, I'm not going to take you. No, relax.
She's moody. She's a moody one. She's very moody. Yeah.
This is the Whiskers program, a collaboration with the Idaho Humane Society. Inmates take care of sick and neglected cats and kittens. They nurse them back to health, and then they go up for adoption. Down the hall from Kimba, I found the Brady Bunch, three young kittens in another of the women's rooms.
Okay, so this is the part of the Brady Bunch?
Mm-hmm, that's Alice. She was the runt. She was really tiny when she came in. She was one of the sick ones. He was one of the sick ones.
And this is Greg.
And that's Marcia. Mm-hmm.
So they were sick when they came in.
Mm-hmm. So what did they have?
Was this the one you were talking about with a lot of the infections and all of that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's three that we had in here before, and they were the sickest. These ones were pretty sick, not as sick.
Are they big enough to be adopted now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're leaving this week.
That's Stephanie Mark. She's been at the South Boise Women's Correctional Center since the end of May. She's the cat coordinator. And she starts out talking about the Whiskers program. And then the conversation took a turn towards some really serious subjects. Take a listen as she describes taking care of some very sick kittens covered in mats and how that affected her.
Being able to nurse them back to health and to see another living thing go from where they were to how they were when they left was really cool, because I've had a passion for animals, but not like for children, for myself. And doing that, it just made me realize that animals are just as important, and they, if not more at times, because they don't have somebody to speak for them. Mm-hmm. They don't have somebody that, you know, when one of them dies, it's just, oh, it's an animal, we'll just toss it. If it happens to a human, somebody's accountable. And so it gave me more passion to want to help them, to do what's best for them. So the cats or kittens that come in, they're usually sick with a URI, upper respiratory infection, most of them. And they just get divvied out into rooms that don't have cats or kittens. Usually three kittens are allowed in one room. If there's five, then we'll split them and get them better, socialize them.
So like they stay physically like in your room where you live, mm-hmm. and they come into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that like? I mean, you don't have family here. You know what I mean? And
it's so fun. It's fun. It takes patience. It's like having, in a way, it's like a child.
Yeah, they're like just children. Doesn't talk.
Exactly. Unless you get the really loud ones. They meow all the time. But my kitten this morning, they're leaving this week. But one of them, she ended up using the litter box and dragged it out at 5 a.m. and it was a mess. We had to clean the floor, clean her, and then she went and we put her back on the heating pad because she didn't want me to hand dry her, and then she ended up urinating in her. It was just kind of one thing after another, but it's not like that constantly. But little things like that, it's just a reminder that you're the one that gets to help them. You're the one that gets to know that you did that to help them, to make it better.
Does it give you a sense of responsibility that maybe you haven't had
mm-hmm.
before?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about that. Yeah, and patience, right?
Not just with cats, but with other women.
Yeah, with life in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Responsibility, you're caring for someone else, something else. And knowing that they're depending on you to get their food, to make sure they have water, to make sure they have clean litter, it's builds not just responsibility, but maturity, mm-hmm. adulthood.
Did you expect to feel all this?
No. One of my friends, she has more passion for animals than I did before I started this. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, how could you be more for animal abuse than child abuse? What's wrong with you? And she's never had children. I have. So when I started and we took over the sick kittens, and then I have taken the place and went around and seen all these other ones, it made me a lot more open-minded to it. Mm-hmm. So learning something new in the different things that animals can have, like, you know, worms, fleas, ticks, how it's susceptible to humans and not, how to be treated, such things like that.
Because you've actually had to learn, I mean, you have to take care for them. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't just like having a little kitten in your room.
Yeah.
Kind of and stuff. Do you learn things like giving them medication? I mean, mm-hmm. are you guys, so you've mm-hmm. had to learn that too, yeah. right?
Medications, sometimes there's a little kitten, he's 4 weeks old. And he takes three different kinds of meds. So he has eye cream, he has nose drops, and he has antibiotic that is by syringe, morning and night. So learning how to do that, and I've never been really a booger snot type of mom. I don't like dealing with that. Having to deal with that with the sick cats that come in, it was probably the hardest, because that's one thing I just didn't do.
Yeah.
So having to, and it just smells like infection, but getting past that and learning how to, I don't know, just building more love and care for the kittens, it makes me feel better to actually, because they can't take it off. They can't make themselves better. And so being able to do that for them, it makes me feel good.
How has it changed you?
Just more. I feel like I have a bigger heart for animals.
Yeah. And what's your hope once you leave the facility? You've had, you know, this experience. You've been able.
I'm going to be a cat lady. The 73 cats you saw that. No, I'm just kidding.
They're all going with
That's
you.
Going with me. I have more care for animals, but for cats, especially just because I've done this, that I want to have a few that I can take and do that too. Even going down and maybe volunteering at the Humane Society or helping them with things like that, where I can do that for animals. I think mm-hmm. it'd be fun learning more.
And has it given you like life skills or job skills that you didn't think you had before this?
Yeah. Could.
Yeah.
I mean, looking into like other pet jobs or even something as simple as like a Petco, just being around animals, I didn't see myself doing any kind of jobs like that or volunteer with animals. Not that I didn't ever like them. It's just I didn't have that kind of passion for them.
And you weren't exposed to it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, it's just another animal.
Yeah.
So.
And what's it like when you actually nurse one back to health?
I don't know, it makes me feel good. When we had the sickest one, he was matted, like quarter size mats all over, and he was 6 weeks old. We had him for 5 weeks, going on six, and having to move the boogers and the snot and the eye boogers, it was just, his breath just stunk. Taking hours to try to brush him out and to get him clean and to make him smell better and get him to where he can have a home. He was the cat that I cried with when he left. And I usually don't get attached to animals like that because I've never had that much passion for animals. I'd never gotten that close to them. After that, I have a bigger heart for animals to bring them in, see what's wrong, what can I do, just to be a part of their life.
So what's it like now when they do leave?
Depending on how close I am with them, I'll cry, or other times I'm just happy for them that they are going out better than they came in and they had a chance here to be spoiled and have a better home to be adopted in than where they were.
And, you know, you said something interesting, like you hope that they go out better than they came in. Do you hope the same thing for yourself?
Yes. I always do.
Yeah. Tell me about, if you don't mind, why you ended up here.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is my fourth time in. And every time I leave personally, it's It's not hopelessness, but it's more of, I feel more broke down than I did the time before. It gets harder and harder every time. And I was raised in a really good home, good middle high class family, good jobs, loving parents. And so it's really hard for me to understand my own thought process. Trying to explain it to my family when they don't understand is hard because I don't understand it. So that's what makes it difficult, and trying to change and wonder where I went wrong or where I'm going wrong before it gets too far.
Is it addiction? Has that been the biggest issue? Yep.
That's really the only...
That's the thing.
Issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that can hit anyone. And I think if, if you're saying you grew up in a good home and, and you know, upper middle class family, like, I think people might be surprised to hear that. Because that's not the image.
Exactly.
That, frankly, people want to think about.
That's where I'm like, what happened? Because I had parents that were home. It wasn't, they were out working all the time so we could have all these things. They were home just as much as they were at work. You know, when we were home, they were home. When we were at school, they were at work. And so that's where I think in my head, because of that image, where did I go wrong? What happened? So here it's the families, we all come from different places, different families, different structure, the way we were raised. But at the end of the day, I'd say 80% of us have the same problem, and it's addiction.
Yeah.
Or addiction had led to the things we did.
Yeah. And, you know, same question that I asked, you know, before, like what would you hope that people would know about you and about the women here? And instead of just those stereotypical ideas of someone behind bars?
A lot of us, I don't think, understand our addiction just as much as a lot of other people don't. Like, it's just, my mom always said, it's just not that hard. I just don't get it. It's, I mean, you have the choice. It's that simple. And to me, it's not that simple. It seems easy, but when it comes down to it, I've tried to explain to her, you know, she's a health nut. She works out, she eats right, she lives right, and trying to explain to her, you know, what if that was taken away from you? Let's say, even though it's legal, it's accepting, but if that was taken away from you, how would you feel? If somebody came over and offered you this nice meal that was something that you would always eat, or, you know, hey, you want to go to the gym? I said, it seems tacky and funny, but that's the only way I could try to explain it to you. That's your addiction. That's something that you enjoy doing. It's something that you're used to doing. It's a habit at this point for you. What would you do? And the only reason it's not okay is, I mean, because it's illegal, it's bringing me here, but that's the only way I can try to explain it to her. And it's hard.
Well, it's a disease, and people maybe don't understand that. And it's and I think within our culture, it's about, you need to make the changes. Like, it is easy, you know, you make the changes, and all the responsibility is put on you, and sort of maybe looking at the fact that, you know, an addiction is a disease.
It's hard sometimes to sit there and think that I'm going to have to deal with this for the rest of my life. Because in my head, I'm like hoping there's a day where I'm just going to wake up and it's done. I'm over it. I've grown up. And I'm almost 30 and it's still here. Seeing a lot of the women here, like, that are old enough to be my mom and my grandma. No, I'm not 35, 40, but I'm on my way, and I don't want to be here. I don't want to do it. It's embarrassing to me. And I look around, and not saying I'm better than anybody here, because I think we all have the same problems, or self-esteem, self-worth, whatever it is. It's close to the same kind of feelings that we all have towards ourselves and maybe things that we've been through. It's just a struggle. So even having patience with yourself, my mom always says, you know, you're pushing 30, it's time to grow up. And to me, it really hurt my feelings, because I don't know if she thinks this is a game, but it's not a game to me. This is my life. And this isn't the way I want to live my life. It's the way that I have, but it's not what I want. And so when you come back over and over, you make those mistakes, it's like, what is wrong with me? How can I fix this? I don't know what to do. How do I change it? How to make it easier?
Have you found anything that has been working for you, or do you think you'll end up back in this situation again?
I honestly feel that this is the first time where I'm just tired of doing it. Last time I got out, I wasn't even out for 2 months, and I knew I wasn't ready when I got out. I was like, I'm just going to do what everybody else does and maintain, and fly below the radar. And I knew I wasn't going to make it. And then I came back in 50 days later, and so it feels like I've done 3.5 years, really. And I just don't care for it. Like I was saying, it's not that I feel that I'm better then, but I look around and I don't feel like I belong. It doesn't matter how many times you keep coming back, I don't. This isn't the place for me. And when I'm in, I'm not a problem. I don't get in trouble. I've never been in trouble in the 7 years I've done. Mm-hmm. It's like, why can't I take that outside of here? And
but do you think some of it, though, is the fact that there's structure here?
Yes.
And there are rules. And
there's not all the drugs, the people, the situations.
There's accountability here. Mm-hmm. And so when you get out and that goes away, is that scary to think about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it make you nervous?
Yeah, I think it's not just the structure, but it's just not available. I mean, it is, but it's not. My downfalls, they're not around. So believing that I'm strong enough to do it and knowing that I'm not, and how your brain can just trick you even over time, putting yourself in that situation, it gets old. Mm-hmm. But
you just have to do your best, right?
Mm-hmm. And keep trying. I think a lot of people that end up back here over and over, or you know, that are old enough to be my mom, my grandma, they just give up. They don't have a life. They haven't built a life. They haven't given themselves a chance outside of here to make a life, to have something to stay out for, or to get out to, that they just get comfortable.
Do you feel like you have something this time?
I feel like I do every time. I mean, it's not much, but I know that I can make something. Mm-hmm. Some people say, I don't care if I get out, or I'm going to come right back. I know I am. I don't have anything out there. Well, you haven't made anything out there. You have to get out and you have to try again. It's with anything that anybody struggles with, it's going to take time after time after time. Some may take more times than others, but it's hard.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. I really can't. And it's got to be hard that people don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are other diseases that are acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about your family? Is that a support group when you get out?
Yes.
Or, so that's
my family's always there. I get the mom, the preaching from my mom, and
that's what
just,
moms do.
That's just part of being a mom. I understand. So I don't get irritated like I did when I was 14, 16. And if she didn't do it, I probably would feel like she doesn't care. So, she's always there. My mom is. Definitely loves me unconditionally, and she's very supportive with me and my siblings. I think I feel a little bit better now the older I get, and realizing that she's no different than I am, because before it was mom's right, she's older than me, she knows it all, she's perfect, and it's like, no, she gossips and she's nosy and this and that I feel like I can be more open to her,
mm-hmm.
and be honest with her, because I'm tired of lying to her and trying to sugarcoat my life when that's not what my life is, and it's not going to help her understand me and what I'm going through any better. And so she's always there, her and my family.
I really appreciate you talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Stephanie Mark is scheduled to get out of prison this month. Thanks so much for joining us on our journey through the South Boise Women's Correctional Center. And we'd like to thank all of the folks who made this visit possible and all of the inmates who talked to us and told their stories here at Idaho Matters. And I want to thank all of you for joining us today. My producer for this special program of Idaho Matters was Samantha Wright. I'm Gemma Gaudette, and you can hear today's program and previous interviews at our website, boisestatepublicradio.org.